have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to 2 Timothy. We're going to be in chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. If you will, let's stand in honor of God's Word, if you're able. 2 Timothy chapter 3, chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. This is Paul. He's in prison in Rome. He is about to, as you know, as you read into chapter 4, he's about to face death. He's about to be beheaded. Tradition tells us, the Bible doesn't tell us, but history tells us that Paul was beheaded by Nero. And as he was getting ready to face his impending judgment for preaching and spreading the gospel, he is here writing one last epistle to young Timothy. Timothy was the pastor at Ephesus. And as he was writing this letter, he encourages Timothy to be stirred up again, to be stirred up again. And at church, I'm going to tell you something this morning. I think we need to be stirred up again. That's why we have revival. That's why we, as John said, we stir that flame, and that's what we want to look at this morning. Paul tells young Timothy in verse 3, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did. As without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your salvation. Lord, it is in you and you alone. And Lord, we recognize that this morning. Lord, today I pray for our Christian brothers and sisters. Lord, the flame may be barely lit. And Lord, I pray under the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the power of the preaching of the Word of God that today our flames be reignited again. Lord, that you stir up in us. You stir up in us the remembrance of our genuine faith in you, not because of who we are, but because of who you are. Lord, I thank you today that you didn't give us the spirit of a coward. You didn't give us the spirit of fear, but you gave us the spirit of love. You gave us the spirit of a sound mind. Lord, and we want to praise you this morning for that. Lord, today I ask you to meet with us. I ask you to rekindle our hearts. Lord, I ask you to rekindle our souls. Lord, I ask you this week to put a burden on us for the lost. I ask you to put a burden on us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I just pray for our revival that's coming up. We lift up Brother Donnie to you. We lift up Brother Kelly and Brother Brandon to you. And Lord, I know that you have given them the message for our church to hear. Lord, my prayer is that we invite our friends, we invite our family, we invite our co-workers to come and be a part of this revival. Lord, I thank you for sending a great revival to our soul. And Lord, every fruit that is seen afterwards, Lord, may you get all the honor and glory for it. We love you, Lord, and we praise your name this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. When we look at this, Paul makes it very clear that he thanks God. And I think that's something that you and I need to think about this morning, about who our thanks goes to. He says, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, a good conscience. And I want you to think about that this morning. How could he serve God with a pure conscience, knowing who he was. He was Saul of Tarsus. He was as mean as a rattlesnake. He was as unworthy to be saved as anybody. But aren't you thankful that God sheds his grace on the ones that can be unsavable, and he can turn our lives completely around? Paul right here said, I can serve with a pure conscience, a good conscience. Hey, church, I want to tell you something this morning. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter what you've done in your past. What matters is what the Lord has done for you through the free gift of salvation in Jesus Christ and what he has the future plan for you this morning. Amen? So that's what we look at Brother Paul here. He says, I can serve God with a pure conscience. And he says, as my forefathers did. Now that's interesting, because we know Paul, before he was Saul of Tarsus, he was strict in Pharisaic law. And as he was strict in Pharisaic law, he had a head knowledge of God, but he had no personal relationship with his son Jesus Christ. He could quote the law. He could quote the first five books of the Old Testament probably better than any of us. He could tell you anything about the law. And he says, I did this as my forefathers did. Why? Because his forefathers were Jewish. His forefathers were Jewish. Paul knew God as Saul of Tarsus, but he had no personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Folks, I'm afraid sometimes in the Baptist church, we've got people that come in and they know God. They know all the Bible stories. They know all the doctrines of the Bible, but they have no personal relationship with Jesus Christ. My prayer today is that every person under the sound of my voice can say with 100% assurance, can say as Brother Paul did with pure conscience, that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I remember in September 3rd, 1987, Jesus Christ changed my world. He changed my life. It wasn't anything that I did. It was all of what he did. Do you remember that day when Jesus saved your soul? Do you remember that day when God chose you for salvation? Do you remember that day when you were justified before God and made righteous? Do you remember that day? Those are the days we need to reflect back on. Those are the days that we need to think back on and say, thank you, Lord, for salvation in you. Because this is what Paul's saying here. He said, I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did. And listen to what he says about young Timothy. Oh, what did Paul do? Paul didn't keep that gospel to himself. Paul shared that gospel with others. He says in verse 3, he says, as without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day. It's over and over again that Paul refers to Timothy as a son in the faith. A son in the faith. He looks to Timothy as a son in the faith. He loved Timothy. He prayed for him night and day. I remember over the years, revivals that have been done, people that have preached the Word of God in this pulpit, people that have preached the Word of God in other pulpits that I have been to, revivals that I've been to, and oh, there's something exciting about going to a revival. Oh, there's something exciting about the Word of God being shared in revival. And so I want to encourage you this morning to think about that. I remember one time I was preaching in a church that was very small. They had a population of church membership of 8 people. And they'd asked me to come do a revival. And I said, absolutely, I'd love to come do a revival. And we went over there one Wednesday night and we carried our whole youth group. And our youth group was very large at that time. And that church had, and not in many a year, seen that whole church full. And that church was full that night. And one of these young men that night, under the power of the Holy Spirit, convicting his soul that he was a lost sinner, praise God, that night. It's one of those nights I'll never forget. It was in late May, and it was that night that Jesus Christ saved his soul. I think back to going down to Red Springs Baptist Church down here in Lindale, Texas, and they called me to do a revival. And I'll never forget a young man sitting over there on the back end of the church, and I could see his tears welling up in his eyes, and we just kept preaching and preaching and preaching, and the Holy Spirit convicted his soul. He'd been saved. He'd been serving in the church. And the Lord had called him into the ministry. And he preached back here about 2 Wednesday nights ago. And I just want to thank God for that. I want to thank God for young men. I want to thank God that in a revival over in Canton at Old Bethel Baptist Church, we preached hard under the power of the Holy Spirit for 3 days and nobody had moved. Boy, that just does, it's just like getting beat up for a preacher when nobody's moving. And the last night of that revival, nobody had moved, and I was getting ready to leave. And a man that was going through a divorce, a man that was struggling with alcohol, come to me and shared his heart and knew that Jesus Christ was the answer. And praise God, he accepted Jesus Christ that night. I'll never forget it, a youth revival that we did one time out at Sand Springs Baptist Church. We preached and we preached the power of the Holy Spirit, and I never had this happen to me before, but I had a young man struggling with homosexuality come down and ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of his life. Praise. Listen to me, folks. Jesus can save anyone. He can save anyone. And you and I need to remember that when we share the gospel. We plant the seed. He does the saving. We do nothing. We do nothing. We're going to see this here in just a second. So he goes there in verse 4 and he says this about young Timothy. You need to have young Timothys in your life. You need to have people in your life that you care about, people that you've invested in, people that you've mentored to be godly men and women of God. Look at verse 4. Greatly desiring to see you. Oh, Paul wanted to see Timothy so bad, he's sitting there in jail. Timothy's down in Ephesus, and he's saying, I'm being mindful of your tears. When you go back and look at the book of Acts, when Paul would leave his people, when Paul would leave local churches that he had ministered to, the people cried. They loved him. They loved him. A couple of Sunday nights ago, we had missionaries from the Ukraine here, Larry and Tammy Woods. And they did a wonderful job sharing of what's going on in the Ukraine. As they were getting ready to leave, Brother Schaefer, our former pastor, our teaching pastor on Wednesday nights here, Brother Schaefer, when they were getting ready to leave, Brother Schaefer was crying. And you want to know why he was crying? He'd served with them down at Longview, at a Baptist church down in Longview. He'd served with them. And when he had seen them and knew that they were going back to the Ukraine in 2021, Brother Schaefer had tears of joy for them. He had tears for them because he loved them. When you work hand in hand with people in the ministry, man, you love each other. I've told y'all this before. This church is more like family to me than some of my own blood family members. Why? Because we love each other in Christ. And that's what was the Brother Schaefer had tears of joy. And that's what Paul says about Timothy here in verse 4. He says that I may be filled with joy. It's joyful tears. It's not sad tears. It's joyful tears. When you see somebody get saved, tears of joy. When you see somebody get baptized, tears of joy. When you see people join the church, tears of joy. Those are things that bring tears to our eyes of joy to know what? That God, as Brother Dan prayed, he's in control. He's still working. And there's so many people say, where is God? I'll tell you where he's at. He's on his throne where he always has been. When we look at this morning, he says in verse 5, I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and then in your mother Eunice. And Paul said, I'm persuaded that it's in you also. So Timothy was from Lystra, and Timothy's daddy was a Greek. Timothy's grandmother was Jewish in Lois here. Lois received the faith probably on Paul's first missionary journey to Lystra. Then the gospel was spread through who? From a mother to her daughter, from Lois to Eunice. Mothers, grandmothers, oh, it is so important that you share the gospel of Jesus Christ with your grandkids. This is evidence right here of it. Boy, this is a beautiful Mother's Day message. I preached it on Mother's Day. But it's a beautiful message of a grandmother receiving the faith of Jesus Christ, sharing the gospel with her daughter Eunice. And then probably what happened, what did Eunice do? She probably told her son Timothy, young Timothy, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what happened? Timothy received the gift of faith, the gift of salvation. He received this because Paul said it dwelt first in Lois, then in your mother Eunice. And he said, I'm persuaded. That Greek word means I'm convinced. I am 100% positive that it is in you. Can that be said of us this morning, church? Can that be said of us this morning? He says in verse 6, and this is really where I want to get at when it comes to revival, because this is the Greek word that means what we need to have this morning when it comes to this. In verse 6, he says, "Therefore I remind you." He's reminding Timothy. Timothy probably had a little bit of the what we'd call the limber tail. You ever seen two dogs get in a fight and one's whooped the other one and he gets that limber tail and he takes off running? Timothy was probably a little bit on the timid side, because Paul has to remind him all throughout these two epistles on how to handle things with courage. And Timothy was up against in Ephesus. I've told y'all before, I've been there. And when you walk down that road into the library of Celsus, you walk into the amphitheater, you see all the fake Roman statues of idols of gods. Here is Timothy in this place of Ephesus, Turkey, and he's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I'm sure it's got to be consuming him, all these false gods that are upon him. And as he's in there preaching, Paul says, "I want to remind you something. I want to remind you something." I think we all need to be reminded. He said, "I want to remind you to stir up the gift of God." That "stir" in the Greek is where we want to get at this morning. It means to basically rekindle the flame. Rekindle the flame. I want you to rekindle the flame of the gift of God of salvation. Church, I think every one of us in here need to have our flame rekindled. I think we need to be reminded of our gift of God through salvation of eternal life in Jesus Christ. He says, "I want to stir up the gift of God which is in you." He makes it personal. He said, Timothy, in verse 5, "I'm persuaded that you're saved. I'm persuaded that you're a Christian. But I need you to remember. I need you to be rekindled. I need you to be stirred up. I need the flame to keep on going about the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Now, our Assembly of God friends and our Pentecostal friends may take this a little bit out there, but we don't need to. Okay? The apostles had the gift of laying of hands. Now, if I come out this morning and lay my hands on Miss Susan, it's not going to do a bit of good. Y'all with me this morning? If I lay my hands on Brother Dan over there, it's not going to do a bit of good. If you come lay your hands on me, it's not going to do a bit of good. Okay? Because Paul was an apostle, in the act of basically anointing a young man for the ministry, the laying on of hands, to let them know that they are being worthy of the ministry of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. When I was ordained as a minister here at New Hope Baptist Church, many of you were here, and the deacons would come by and lay hands on me. But it wasn't to lay hands on me to say, "You've got the power," right? It was to lay hands on me to say, "I'm praying for you. God bless you, Michael. We're praying for you in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ." This is what's being said here. Paul never saved anybody. Jesus Christ saved Timothy. And when he says it here, he says, "I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." It is symbolic here, and that's what I want to encourage you guys on. This is a symbolic act of saying, "Timothy, you're now being qualified to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ because the ministers have laid hands upon you." Not by anything that they have done, not by who they are, but because of who God is. And Timothy knew that. And I think we need to know that today, church. We have so many churches today that they don't follow the Lord. They follow a pastor. And I'm going to tell you what. When you follow a pastor, be prepared to be let down. When you follow Jesus Christ and you follow the Lord God Almighty, it's the foundation of the church. I'm going to tell you what, you're always going to be satisfied. You're always going to be satisfied. So when we look at this morning, we see verse 7. Verse 7 is a verse that everybody probably knows. He says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." Anytime that word fear in the Greek means is, it means to be a coward. Anytime you feel like that you're being a coward for the gospel, know that that does not come from God. That comes from the devil. That little waitress that may be a foreigner, and she's waiting your table, and you're wanting to share Christ's love with her, and you're getting scared. That's not from God. You go to the grocery store, and the little clerk that checks you out, or the bag boy that takes your groceries out, and you just want to share the gospel with them, and you get a lump in your throat because you're scared. That fear doesn't come from God. That fear comes from the devil. So God doesn't give us a spirit of being a coward. We have some things right now, church, I'm just going to be honest with you, that we need to stand up for. We've got an election in a couple of weeks, and there's some things we really need to stand up for. There's some things that are going on in this nation that you and I need to stand up for and stop being cowards about. We need to stand up for what's right. And there's some issues out there, regardless of the candidates. I'm not talking about the candidates. I'm talking about the issues. There's some issues out there that you and I as Christians need to stand up for. I'll preach on that in two more Sundays. But I want you to know, He doesn't give us the spirit of fear. He gives us the spirit of power. Power. You know what that word means? We get the word in the English, dynamite. That's the word dynamite we get in the English, power. Where's that power come from? Come from the Holy Spirit. He gives us the spirit of power so that we can share the gospel. We can serve Him. We can do what He's called us to do. We get the power from the Lord. The second thing that He gives us is love. Love in the Greek means agape. It means a sacrificial love. It means a love that says, I'm going to sacrifice myself for you. I'm going to sacrifice myself for you. Church, we need to get back to loving the lost. We need to get back to, there's lost people all up and down this road out here. There's lost people on our jobs. There's lost people in our when we go to Dairy Queen. There's lost people when we go to Brookshire's or Walmart. There's lost people all around us. And we need to have that love for the lost. You know where else we need to see that love again? We need to see that love in the local church. Love for the brethren. He gives us the power of love. And He also gives us a sound mind. A sound mind. This word simply means self-control. It means, in the Greek, it means to be sober. It means to have self-discipline. It means to have self-discipline. I want to ask yourself this morning, do you have self-discipline? Or do the lust of the world still take over? Do the pride of life still take over? Does the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, does that still tempt you and get you to do things that you wouldn't normally do? Or do you have the power of a sound mind, of self-control, of self-discipline, where you have not mastered yourself, but the Lord has mastered you, that the things that you used to love to do, when He saved you, you don't like to do them anymore? Can I get a witness today? Man, there's things I used to like to do I hate doing. There's words that used to come out of my mouth. They don't dare come out of my mouth anymore. I'm convicted by it. He will do that to you. He will discipline you because He is trying to create in you character that is godly, that does what? That brings Him glory. And that's my prayer today, is that we bring Him glory. I want you to look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Notice He told young Timothy, He said, first of all, God doesn't give us the spirit of fear. So this is probably how we know Timothy's got a little bit of cowardice to him. And then the second thing He tells him there in verse 8, He said, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Go out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Guys, if there's ever been a time for revival in the United States of America, it's right now. And we should not be ashamed to go out and do what? Share the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on, He says what in verse 8? He says, don't be ashamed of me as a prisoner. Don't be ashamed of me as his prisoner. I remember we had a youth pastor here who's now the pastor at Old Bethel Baptist Church in Canton. His name was Adam Key. And Adam is a good friend of mine. I'll never forget what Adam told me one time. Adam went up here to Mineola to a football game to see some of his kids and youth that were playing football. And he said he got up there to the football game, and we had you know, quite a few kids back here in the youth department. And he would see them, and he would speak to them. He'd say, "Hi, so-and-so, how you doing?" And they'd ignore him. Or he'd see a group of our kids standing over there, and he'd walk towards them, and they'd see him coming, and they'd go the other way. And he said, "Michael, that broke my heart." And I'm going to tell you what, in the ministry, you'll have your heart broken. Because there's things like that that happen all the time. They're ashamed of you. Boy, there's been a lot of places I go, people are ashamed to talk to me. I did a wedding the other night in Tyler. And when I did that wedding, there wasn't probably, out of a guest of 150 people there, there might have been three people come up and say something to me. You want to know why? Because when you're different and you're not of that lifestyle, they don't want anything to do with you when you stand for the Lord. Okay? I'm here to tell you today, church, we shouldn't be ashamed of our brothers and sisters in Christ. When we see our brothers and sisters in Christ out in the restaurants in town, we see them in the grocery store, wherever it may be, we ought to go up and greet them. We ought to go up and say hi to them. We ought to go up and ask them how they're doing. And you may say, "Well, man, I don't even know really who all goes to church here anymore." And I understand that. But I think we need to make a conscious effort if we see people we know that we go up and give them a greeting from the Lord. And that's what Paul's saying here. He said, "Don't be ashamed of me of his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God." What was the sufferings that Paul was afflicted with here? He had preached the gospel, and Nero was so mad, the Roman Empire was so mad, that they said, "We're going to put you in chains. We're going to put you in chains." Y'all remember we worked through the verse-by-verse study. And when we study this, if you'll remember, Paul was in a dungeon about 12 feet below the city. It was dark. It was dungy. It was cold. Remember what he told later on? He said, tell so-and-so to bring me my cloak. Bring me my cloak because I'm cold. Bring me my cloak so I can put my cloak on. And bring my parchments. Bring my books. Bring my books. I think about that and I think about us. Folks, we got it made. We got it made. But I'm going to tell you, and I can see it. I can see it coming. Preaching this message this morning in a couple of years in the United States of America, it may get this church fined. It may get this church shut down. It may get this pastor put in the Wood County Jail. But I'm here to tell you today, we're going to keep on preaching the Word of God. And as we keep on preaching the Word of God, regardless of what the government says, we're going to stand for what's right. And I'll tell you what's right. It is the Word of God. Paul said to young Timothy, "Share with me in these sufferings." What other sufferings may you go through? I put a couple of down here. Some of you may have not ever been promoted because you're a Christian. Your boss has said, "I'm not going to have you promoted because you're a Christian. I'm not going to move you up the chain or give you a raise because you're a Christian." You may have dealt with that before in the business world. There may be some of you here today, you've had a loss of friends since you became a Christian. You may have friends that you used to run with, and since you've become to know the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't run with you anymore. There may be some of you here today, like I just talked about, snubbed because of your belief in Jesus Christ. There may be some of you here today that face persecution on the job because you're a Christian. There may be some of you here today that go through those things. There may be some of us here today, eventually we'll face prison because of our belief in Jesus Christ. Well, I tell you what, folks, be glad that you live in the United States of America. There's countries around the world this morning that if they share the gospel or say that they're a Christian, they're put in jail. They're put in jail. Let me ask you, would you be willing to do that as well? Look at verse 9. Verse 9 is the plan of salvation. Verse 9 is the gospel. Verse 9 is it. And this is what we need to be rekindled to. Let me share that with you this morning. Sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God who has saved us. Saved in the Greek means to rescue. We just sing that hymn. Rescue the perishing. He rescued us from what? Well, number one, he rescued us from hell. Praise God this morning. Number two, he rescued us from our sins. Praise God this morning. He saved us. Not that we saved ourselves, but what? He saved us. Number two, look at what else it says here. He called us with a holy calling. Now that is the doctrine of election. And boy, do people get mad when you talk about the doctrine of election. Election in the Greek means to be chosen. Chosen by who? Chosen by God. It's not anything that we do. Praise God, it's all what He does. And He makes it very clear here that there is a calling. There is a holy calling. It is a calling that you and I cannot resist. When God draws you to Him, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, the sheep hear the shepherd's what? Voice. When the Holy Spirit draws you to salvation, it's not anything that, oh, I chose to be saved. Oh, you did? Well, then you must be your own little God. Because our Bible tells us it's not anything what we do or what we've done. But what? It's His holy calling to who? To Him. Why? Look at the next phrase there. Not according to our works. Oh, not according to our works. You've been baptized this morning and you think that saves you? Wrong. You served as Sunday school teacher for 30 years, you think that saves you? Wrong. Your granddaddy and grandma were the church founders, you think that saves you? Wrong. You think because you did this or you did this or you said a little prayer and then your life never changed that you think you're truly saved? Wrong. It's not by anything that we do, not according to our works, but praise God, according to His own purpose and what? Grace. Aren't you thankful for His grace? Listen, when people get saved, when you and I got saved, it shouldn't be pat on the back for me. It should be all praise and glory goes to Him. Why? Because salvation is according to His own purpose. If you're saved this morning by Christ Jesus, you need to thank the Lord God Almighty. You need to thank Him. Because it's according to His own purpose. That's what the Bible tells us. Don't get mad at me this morning. Look at the Word of God. According to His own purpose and what? Grace. Grace means this in the Greek. It means unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. There's nothing that you and I could do to ever get God's favor. Nothing. Not one thing. You can work your life in the church, and our works are nothing but filthy rags. You could do all you think you can do, and you can work, and you can work, and you can say, look, Lord, at all that I've done for you. And He says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, because I do not know you. Folks, it's not about works. Praise God, it's about His grace. Which what? Paul tells Timothy it was given to us in Christ Jesus when? Before time began. Wow. Wow. That's the gospel. So if you're saved this morning, whoa. Man, isn't that marvelous? Can I get an amen this morning? Isn't that marvelous? The plan of salvation, that is a marvelous plan. That it has nothing to do with me. But God, before time began, He had already planned to send His Son, His perfect Son, the Lamb of God. He planned to send Him for who? For the sinner. For the sinner that who? Not because of works that we had done, but because why? Because for His purpose and His grace. His grace. Wow. Wow. Oh, how marvelous. The plan of salvation. In verse 10, we close because it's been revealed now by the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's been revealed. That Greek word is like an epiphany by the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has appeared. He has appeared. When did the Lord Jesus Christ appear to you? September 3rd, 1987, a day I'll never forget. You remember that day? You remember that day? If you're saved this morning, you remember that day that you were justified by God through His Son, Jesus Christ, that you were dead in trespasses and sin, Ephesians 2:1. And because He loved you so much, He gave His only begotten Son, that when you believed in Him, He gives you eternal life. How do you believe in Him? For by grace you're saved through faith. It's not of us. But it's all through Him. And when this appearing takes place, what do we know about Christ? Well, number one, it says there who abolished death. Oh, death, where Paul said to the church of Corinth, he said, death, where is your sting? He said, oh, grave, where is your victory? Let me tell you something this morning, church. Death has no control over us. The grave has no control over us. You want to know why? Because our Savior overcame death and overcame the grave. Hallelujah. And praise His name this morning. The second thing is this. He brought us life and immortality to light through the gospel. See, Jesus brought us life now. And a lot of people get this all mixed up. Oh, I've got eternal life. I'm secure. I'm just waiting for heaven. No, He brought us life now. He says, I've come to give you life, and I've come to give it to you what? More abundantly. More abundantly. John 10:10. For the thief comes to do what? He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But the Savior comes to do what? Give us life and give it to us more abundantly. Well, I don't know about you, but living for Christ is an abundant life. Amen? And He gives us immortality. Immortality is the Greek word for incorruptible, and it simply means this. It means that you were once in the dark. You were once in the dark, but now you've been brought to the light. And this incorruptibility that you have means this. That when death does come knocking at your door, remember, death has no control over us. When death comes knocking at your door, and we breathe that last breath, we know as Christians in here this morning, and this is why we gather here today, that what? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I believe that with all my heart. Do you believe that this morning? He brings us to that immortality, to light, through what? Through the gospel. Well, Michael, what's the gospel? The gospel's the good news. We went over it step by step in verse 9. But I want to leave you with this, and we'll close this morning. Somebody said that the gospel is the good news, and it is. You ever have people in your life say, I've got good news and I've got bad news? What do you want to hear first? Right, Miss Kathy, you have people like that? Here, when we're witnessing to people, we need to give them the bad news first. You know what the bad news is, guys? All of us in here are sinners. All of us in. The Bible says that there's none of us righteous, no, not one. Every one of us in here, nothing but low-down, dirty sinners. People don't like to hear that. And when you say, well, I'm not a sinner, then you ask them, you ever lied? Well, maybe when I was a kid. Wait, you ever cheated? Well, I think I did, maybe on that math test back when I was in high school. You ever murdered somebody? No, I've never murdered somebody. Have you ever been hateful towards somebody? Well, right? Yeah, you're a sinner. But let me give you some good news. The good news is that God, through His infinite grace and through His infinite mercy, He gave us His Son. And His Son, I know we're a couple of months from Christmas, but I got to say it anyways. His Son was called Emmanuel, God is with us. The angel said, this is Jesus who will save people from what? From their sins. John the Baptist said this. He said, behold the Lamb of God who does what? Who takes away the sins of the world. Hey, put your name there. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of Michael Myers. Man, I don't know about you, but there's no better gift than the free gift of salvation. I got some questions for you this morning that are personal. Then we'll close. If you have any questions, I'd love to visit with you. If you want to stay for Sunday school, our Sunday school classes are about to start. And we'd love to have you come back there and stay for the Sunday school. If you'd like to go home, we certainly understand. But I want to share this with these questions with you, and we'll close. Salvation questions. How do you handle these? I know I've been changed for Christ, but I'm still drawn to my old sins. How do you overcome that? Number two, I made a profession of faith, and I got involved in my church, but then I've lost. I just ran away from church. I hadn't been in church in 20 years. How do I really know if I'm saved? Great questions. Number three, it really doesn't matter. These are what people have said. It really doesn't matter what doctrine says. As long as they have said the sinner's prayer, then they are saved. Well, I might disagree with that. I've seen a number of people say the sinner's prayer and their lives never changed. It's not about saying a little catechism, church. It's about a changing relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He or she is a good person. I don't care what they believe. There is no way they'll go to hell. I'm here to tell you today, if you don't have Jesus Christ, you'll spend eternity there. I have changed. I love the Lord with all my heart. I know it is not me because I know I'm a sinner, but it's by His grace that I have been saved through faith. I hope and pray as you leave here this morning that that's the answer that you can say. It's nothing because of me. It's all because of Him. And it's because of His grace that we stand before you today. Aren't you thankful for His grace? When we really know what His grace is for us, you know what happens to our church? Then we're able to have revival. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for this morning. I want to thank You for Your word. Lord, thank You for Your word that spells out Your grace, Your mercy, Your love. Lord, thank You that as we research Your word and we see that You're in control of everything. Lord, You had salvation planned out before time began as we studied this morning. And Lord, we just want to praise Your name for that. Lord, I pray for our people here this morning. I want to thank You for our guests that are here this morning. And Lord, my prayer is that everybody under the sound of my voice, Lord, not because of who they are or what they've done, but Lord, they can say with assurance, they can say with confidence, like You said about young Timothy, that the genuine faith lives in them, not because of who they are or what they've done, but because of Your amazing grace. Lord, I ask You to be with these folks. I ask You to bless them and bless their families. I ask You to protect them. Keep them safe during these times of COVID. And Lord, I just ask You to let us go out this week. Lord, You say in Your word that the fields are white to harvest, but the workers are few. Lord, us few here this morning put on our heart to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody this week. Rekindle in our soul the flame to bring a great revival to my soul. Lord, I pray that next week we can make a commitment that we're going to be at revival services. And Lord, we're going to be revived. We're going to have the flame rekindled so that we can go out to this lost and dying world and share the good news. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We love You, Lord. We praise You. We give You all honor and glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.